From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. When Donald Trump's supporters invaded the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, egged on by their president, it seemed like the last straw for social media companies like Twitter and Facebook, which for years had refused to hold Trump to the same standards as everyone else. Twitter suspended Trump permanently from using its platform, cutting off his main source of putting out information abruptly. Facebook merely suspended him indefinitely. Now, as citizen Trump wants to resume fomenting hate and violence, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg has turned over the decision about Trump being able to continue using his platform to an oversight board of dozens of academics and thinkers who will issue a binding decision. The Trump suspension is being seen as a test case for how social media companies expect to deal with the proliferation of hate and violence on their platforms, especially when coming from state leaders. My guest is Robert Elliott Smith, an expert in artificial intelligence who has worked on projects for Oak Ridge and Los Alamos National Laboratories, the National Science Foundation, NASA, and more. He's a fellow of the Royal Society for the Encouragement of Arts, Manufactures, and Commerce, and the author of Rage Inside the Machine, The Prejudice of Algorithms, and How to Stop the Internet Making Bigots of Us All. We had interviewed him about his book. Welcome back to the program, Robert.
It's great to be here, Sonali.
So first, were you at all surprised by the decisions that Twitter and Facebook took? I mean, it seemed as though an invasion of the Capitol, an attempted violent coup attempt was finally what convinced them that Trump was too dangerous to be on their platforms.
Well, I think it's a case of closing the door to the stable way after the horse is gone out and basically, set up his own fiefdom. So a bit late, but I was heartened by it, but a bit late given the impacts that the social media has had.
So Twitter suspended him permanently, which is very significant. Trump had his major following on Twitter, 88 million plus people. And of course, that included journalists like myself who had to report on what he said, but still a huge number of Americans following him on Twitter. And that was his main way of communicating with his main bullhorn, if you will. And so that seems to be the end of it for Twitter. Facebook just did a suspension, and now we have this oversight board, which Mark Zuckerberg has decided will be the place where decisions about world leaders getting to use their platforms for hate will be made. What do we know about this oversight board? I understand that there's about 20 people, but they really want 40 ultimately, and there's like Nobel Prize laureates and former presidents of other countries and lots of academics on there.
Yeah, it is a powerful board. It's established back in May. I think it's a good move, but I wouldn't say it's the right move. I think that it's not. It has the affect of a legislative system, but you got to remember what's happening here is that a corporation is preparing, has made a policy decision, and by doing that, they've shaped the form of the argument, and now they're handing it over to a board to basically get an opinion back, which they say that they'll be bound by. But it's not like a legal process where effectively the shape of how policy is dictated and how it is processed is independent of the body that's actually making the policy. So it's a step in the right direction. I don't want to criticize it too much, but it is not like we're having real regulation of social media, which in my opinion is what we actually need.
This oversight board, I understand, is appointed by Facebook itself, right? I mean, there's somebody who is with the Cato Institute that's on it. It seems somewhat, well, let's be kind and say, unaccountable?
Well, I think that, I've looked at the composition of the board. I think that the board is comprised of respectable people. But, it is a process that is dictated by Facebook entirely. And therefore, it's sort of like they've made their own laws for governing themselves, even though they have an independent body that I have I believe are people we can have faith in and will make good decisions. I don't think they're pawns of Facebook, but the process itself has been influenced by the way Facebook is doing it. It's not as if an independent body set up a way that Facebook should regulate itself, which is a completely different thing.
Right. So I understand that the decision of this body is binding. Even Mark Zuckerberg can't undo it. It seems to be a way for Zuckerberg personally to deflect responsibility for what Facebook has wrought. What do you think?
Absolutely. And you know, it is binding because Mark Zuckerberg said it was binding. I mean, you know, yes, it's binding in that sense that it would be a public humiliation if he suddenly turned back on it being binding. But it's not as if it has force of law. It's simply binding because Mark Zuckerberg has said we'll go along with what the board says. So it will now be a great humiliation if he was to say, well, I don't like their ruling and I'll change my mind about it. So we shouldn't confuse this with the idea that it effectively is like a body set up by the public per se. It's a body set up by Facebook, and they've said, oh yeah, and we'll go along with what they say. But they're the people setting that up.
One of the things that came about when Twitter and Facebook, cut off Twitter permanently and Facebook temporarily cut Trump off, was that people in other countries said, well, this is rich, considering that these platforms have allowed leaders in their countries to make similarly dangerous and violent and lie-filled claims and not been held accountable. There's many dictatorships around the country where social media platforms have been the places where hate and violence have been fomented, have spread and proliferated, and have been the underpinning for acts of mass violence. So do you think that this will be a test case, this oversight board will be a test case for how Facebook, especially in particular, takes on other leaders in other countries?
Well, in a sense, I mean, this is one of the ways that Facebook gets to shape the process. I mean, Duterte of the Philippines still has his Facebook account, and he's been advocating the execution of drug lords. So effectively, a guy who's been for quite some time advocating extrajudicial killings still has his Facebook account. So why is Trump the test case? And by the way, I'm glad they took Trump off Facebook. But why is Trump the test case? Trump's the test case because it made Facebook look bad. It's not because there's a process there that is actually fair, and that process is being shaped by Facebook. And the thing that concerns me about the board is, if the board look at this, the board are not people who are looking at the dynamics of the medium we're talking about. If the board look at this as a free speech issue, then we'll get a ruling that may put Trump back on Facebook. But you know, the thing about free speech is it's independent of the media that we use for it. For instance, in America, the old trope is you say you can't yell fire in a theater. That's the limitation of your free speech. Well, in the case of social media, it's can you yell fire through an amplifier that specifically targets either people who are deathly afraid of fire or pyromaniacs who really get off on it? The media matters. And if they treat this as a free speech issue and don't consider the fact that what they're really doing is trying to regulate the nature of social media per se, that it has its own dynamics and the way it works, then what we're going to get is a ruling that won't really change the way Facebook works. And what we need to do is regulate social media appropriately for the type of media it is.
So there's a huge debate over whether private companies should be the ones controlling what is said on their platforms versus the government being the one to regulate. Those who are fearful of government overreach say it should be private companies. Those who are fearful of corporate unaccountability say it should be government regulation. Is it as simple as that to see it in that dichotomy as the two areas of debate?
Absolutely. And here's the thing is our legal system, particularly in America, the legal system gives certain rights and responsibilities to corporations as if they were people. Now, the rights they have are very similar to the rights a person has, which I don't believe in. However, the responsibilities they have are very spelled out. They have to deliver shareholder value. That's their responsibility. And we did that, right? Our legal system did that. That's what they're responsible for. That's their primary responsibility in existence. That is not a social responsibility, right? It's not an overall social responsibility. So we have defined the parameters upon which Twitter and Facebook should behave legally, and we can't expect them to behave in any other way. This is the reason that when we regulate media, when we've regulated the broadcast media in the past, we have made commissions and licensing procedures and fairness procedures that regulate them in addition to their role as simply being a profit-making entity. And currently, we have no additional legal framework for really regulating this kind of media. And to allow it to simply be regulated by market forces and corporate responsibility is effectively to say it's all about making money. That's what's the, because that's what we've defined as the corporate responsibility. So unless we do something to really regulate outside of that single responsibility, which I think ultimately needs something like the Federal Communications Commission back in the days of the pre-1970s and earlier, until we do that, we're not really going to have social media behaving in a socially responsible way. We'll have it behaving in a way that's responsible to its delivery of value to shareholders.
So the completely libertarian approach to this would be to allow corporations to have it both ways. You know, one of the members of the oversight board, Michael McConnell, who's a conservative, said to the New York Times that covered the story, practically the only entities that I trust less than the companies would be the government. But of course, if you don't give the responsibility to the government, which is supposed to be the representative of the people, to regulate companies, then you're basically saying it's okay for companies to run roughshod over people, maybe because you trust them more. I mean, that's a bit far-fetched.
Well, distrust of society and trust in markets is a primary aspect of American character and Western character in many ways as well. And the thing is that if you look at the broadcast media back, talk about the media dynamics of the broadcast media was short range and low bandwidth. So effectively, if you bought up the local radio station, you could broadcast whatever you wanted to influence the public. So what we had is the Fairness Doctrine came in the 1940s, essentially, and came in and basically said, broadcasters have to be fair in addition to being corporate entities. That went on till Reagan in the 1980s, and then we got rid of the Fairness Doctrine, on the assumption that the massive bandwidth provided initially by cable television and later by the internet effectively would allow for a marketplace of ideas that took the place of regulation, that it was market regulated. Well, look at what we've got today. And if anyone here is as old as I am and remembers what media was like before the 80s and after the 80s, they'll realize that we have a much less effective and much more dangerous media today. The market has not regulated the marketplace of ideas successfully. It's ended up with a highly polarizing media that has delivered alternative facts for different groups of people. And that is a sickness in our society. And it's a proof, it's an experimental proof that markets don't regulate everything perfectly. We've got a marketplace of ideas. We've got plenty of venues for people to have opinions. But what we've ended up with is everybody having their own set of facts and a breakdown of social discourse of a really fundamental type that has effectively ended up with us having an insurrection in the Capitol. That's how bad it is. Mm-hmm. So the return to the regulation of media is essential to having an effective American society, in my opinion.
Now, President Joe Biden has appointed at least as interim positions to lead both the Federal Trade Commission and the Federal Communications Commission, people who are pretty progressive on these issues. Jacob Silverman, writing in the New Republic, said that we should ban Trump and break up Facebook, ban Trump permanently. This is what the Facebook Oversight Board should do, maintain that ban. And then the government should break up Facebook into smaller entities. And this is a process that was already begun, right? Because there are very serious questions around corporate monopolies that are part of this conversation. And so I'm wondering if you think that approach to regulating Facebook could lead to a better use of or a better approach to hate and violence being spread by state actors on Facebook.
It's an interesting approach, and it could work. But fundamentally, what we need to do codify is a social responsibility for media companies that they have to respond to. Whether we use the means of breaking people up, or a commission, or a licensing procedure that basically respects the idea that you have to be socially responsible. There is such a thing as media dynamics. Social media behaves in a certain way. It has algorithms at the heart of it, and those algorithms make decisions in a certain way. And those decisions now are primarily about profit generation, not about social good. So my shtick is to basically say we need to look at the way social media affects society, look at it as an algorithmic problem, but invest in those algorithms the responsibility to be socially good. And then people say, well, what do you mean by socially good, Rob? And that's something that human beings need to make a decision about. And we need to set up appropriate human institutions to make those decisions. But with the massive distrust of government we have, that's difficult to do. Nonetheless, I think it's the only way to really solve the problem is effectively we need human oversight and effective regulation that's appropriate to the media of social media that then causes it to do something more effective for society. And until we get on that track, there are good things that we're doing. The oversight board is better than having Mark Zuckerberg make the decision by himself. Banning Trump was the right decision. Those are good things, but they're not the real solution until we look at this as a systemic social system and try to get the technology and the humans working together to make a more effective social discourse.
So basically acknowledging that media companies have a special responsibility by virtue of the fact that they are media companies and so are part of how democratic societies function and play a massive role in influencing thought and the public narrative and discourse, all of which we're seeing sadly go in dangerous directions. I mean, considering that there are tens of millions of Americans that buy into easily disproven conspiracy theories today that seek to threaten the democratic stability of the country. Certainly big questions there. Robert, I really appreciate your time on this and your insight. Thanks for joining us.
It's great being here, Smalley. Snolly, sorry.
My guest has been Robert Elliott Smith. He's an expert in artificial intelligence who's worked on projects for Oak Ridge and Los Alamos National Laboratories, the National Science Foundation, NASA, and more. We had interviewed him about his book some time ago, Rage Inside the Machine, The Prejudice of Algorithms and How to Stop the Internet Making Bigots of Us All. You can find that interview on our website. We've just been discussing the Facebook Oversight Board tackling whether or not to permanently ban Donald Trump. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.